Hi, I'm Taylor Mullins, and my favorite thing is Armchair Expert.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello, and welcome back to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones. It is Sunday. I always have to look up the date. November 28th. It is also the first night of Hanukkah. It's the last day of Thanksgiving, the long Thanksgiving weekend for those of us who had a four-day weekend. It's also the end of my first cycle of chemotherapy. One of the things I learned this week is that for me, a cycle of chemotherapy is 3 weeks long. So when somebody had said to me, typically in the second cycle is when you start losing your hair, I thought, oh, second week. My hair is really holding on strong, giving me a strange sense of invincibility. Also, my hair looks particularly good for being 3 weeks into my chemotherapy treatment. But the nurses told me to expect to see the hair loss in the next couple weeks, as it comes during the second cycle is when your follicles start to let go. Overall, I've still been feeling pretty good in chemotherapy. My worst days right now are Monday, Tuesdays after the steroids wear off. But we've worked out my Benadryl levels. Last week I had terrible restless leg syndrome triggered by a Benadryl. This week I didn't have that. But like the weekend, what I lovingly now call steroid Saturday, is like a real high octane day. But I was able to get some sleep last night because my sleep has been a little wonky. I had a really nice Thanksgiving. I'm also a couple weeks out from my COVID booster, which feels good. I'm really grateful I was able to get that. My mom came up for Thanksgiving, my neighbor Ezra, my nephew Andy. We ordered in from two different restaurants, and our dining room table was like a Venn diagram of gluten-free, vegan, and neither gluten-free nor vegan. So like Jack Spratt and his wife, everybody was able to eat at least a third of the dishes served at Thanksgiving. And then tonight for the first night of Hanukkah, my friend Nadia and her son Zeke came by and we lit the first candle. And next weekend I'll have people over for my annual Hanukkah party, but it won't actually be in my apartment. It'll be in my yard. And some of my dear friends are helping me host that. All of these adjustments for a holiday season as I become more immunocompromised. I don't know. Chemotherapy's weird, man. Cancer is weird. That's my answer. This week's episode, we recorded many weeks ago. I got quite a backlog because I was so afraid of how I would feel once chemo started. But it's perfect because this week I'm talking to Taylor Nicole, Taylor Mullins. She's the host of The Extraordinary Podcast, which is currently on hiatus, but will be back. And Taylor's, yesterday was her birthday. Happy birthday, Taylor. Taylor is on this week talking to me about the podcast Armchair Expert. So it's Dax Shepard's podcast, one that I have mentioned many times before that I, in the hopes of getting my friend Jocelyn to listen to the podcast, I started a little Facebook fan group that then grew to 7,000 wonderful people spawned. Like there's now like a Discord server for that kind of spun off of it. Things are sort of moving off of Facebook a little bit. But Taylor and I got to know each other in that Facebook group. She famously met Dax Shepard on an episode of Ellen. He gave her a car. Then her podcast was always recorded in her car. A link to the video there. And the Armchair Expert community and also Dax Shepard have all been very generous and kind with well wishes and generous gifts since I've been diagnosed with cancer. So even though I had taken a step back from that community, they have really like continued to hold me in their thoughts. And I really am grateful to that online community. I have found podcast communities to be some of the best online spaces. Between Armchair Expert, How Did This Get Made, and Doughboys. Those are the three podcast corners of the internet where I hang out. And obviously also the Finding Favorites community. And so I hope you had a restful Thanksgiving, that if you are celebrating Hanukkah, that you feel the light start to grow even ahead of the solstice when the days start to grow again. And keep wearing your mask, wash your hands, get that booster, and enjoy your favorite things.
Hello and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and this is the podcast where we learn about people's favorite things and get recommendations without using an algorithm. Today I am joined, we're going back to the guests I know because we like the same podcasts, but this time it's someone I know from the Armchair Expert fan world. I'm here today with Taylor Mullins. Taylor is the host of the podcast Extraordinary with Taylor Nicole, which she records in a car. And since the car is currently out of commission, the podcast is on hiatus as well. Taylor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really, really good. How are you? It's nice to see your face.
It's so good to see your face. Usually I just see you in comments. I see, you know, in Instagram, but it's good to actually be talking to you.
Yeah, it's nice to put like a voice to your face because like you said, I only see you through social media. Yeah. So I have to like imagine what your voice sounds like.
When I'm telling people to like calm down, sit down, go to your corners.
Exactly.
Although I did step down from the admin role of the group. It got to like 7,000 people and I also at the same time, when I got diagnosed with breast cancer, that's when I was like, okay, I've got to like start rearranging how I use my time. And so Robin took on the group and I think a couple other people, which I'm grateful for.
Mm-hmm. You're still in the group, right?
Still in the group. Yes. Yes. And I still, I listen to the guests that I find particularly intriguing, but I'm not, I suddenly hit a point where I couldn't keep up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of podcasts in the Armchair world now.
Yeah. And then if you listen to any other podcast other than Armchair Expert, it's like so much. I'm behind right now too. So I totally get that.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you doing? How was your summer? What's going on?
Honestly, nothing much. Sad news. I did wreck my car. And I was a delivery driver. So I haven't been employed since I wrecked my car because you can't really deliver pizza without
the car. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've kind of just been just hanging out, and I'm a writer. So I've been writing a bunch and just watching movies because that's what I like to do. And yeah, that's about all I've been up to.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it.
So, and something that is incredibly rare of guests I've had on this podcast is that people could go and watch on YouTube you receiving the car.
Yes, they can on Ellen. And Dax gave it to me, which was even like crazier. And sadder whenever I wrecked the car.
Yeah. What was the, what lie did she tell you to get you to fly to California and be on the show? Because she didn't say, come meet Dax Shepard and I'm going to give you a car.
Right. Because then because of NDA disclosures and all of that, those agreements, I can't say exactly what it was.
Sure.
But I was under the impression that I was there for something completely different.
Okay.
And had no idea that Dax was even going to like be in the same building. So my imagination, my brain originally thought, you know, I watch Ellen a lot. Like I know that they use like little things to say, oh, we're not doing that. Just come here.
Right.
So in my head, I was like, could this be like, I'm meeting Dax? No, yeah. No. So I had convinced myself that was not even like a possibility.
Right.
And then of course I did. So
yes. Yeah, it all seemed crazy. Like a very warm conversation with him and a very cool hangout. Yes.
Yeah, super cool. And it was really nice because at the time he was shooting Bless This Mess, and Bless mm-hmm. This Mess does not shoot at the same place that Ellen does.
Right.
So I was told that he came there specifically just for that. Like he drove all the way there just for that, which made it even nicer. Yeah. So nice.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, just as nice as you think he is, like on Armchair Expert on the podcast, 10 times better in person.
Yeah. My friend Jocelyn and I, she's my co-host of Candy Chat Chicago, my other podcast, mm-hmm. where we talk about candy. we went to stage door, like we did the stage door of the first Chicago Armchair Expert taping. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which was, I feel like, maybe only their third or fourth live show. It was really early. It was also winter, so it was very cold, which is honestly a great time to hang out at the stage door. Because yeah. It's only the diehard fans. Jocelyn got to have, like, Robin was with us at the stage door that day, who's an admin of the group. Mm-hmm. And Jocelyn got to have like a solid 4 or 5 minute chit chat with him. And she had brought a present that she had been tricked by the people at Code Check. They promised they would take it to the green room and they did not. So she like described the present she had made. And then the next time she came back, she did not let the powers that be take it. And she took it to the stage door and got it to him himself.
Oh, that's so sweet. So did you met Dax?
We did, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, but it was like, she had like a long conversation. I got like a selfie.
Right.
So truly just a very quick interaction for me.
Still like, oh my God.
It was still really cool. That was a show that Monica's parents were at as a surprise to her. So she was like, could we, you brought my parents here and now I would like to go see them.
That's so cool though. And I think I remember, did you post a picture of it?
Oh, I'm sure I posted many pictures. Yes, definitely.
Right. I think I remember seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is fun. So cool. I wish I could go to a live show. I was working at the time because I think they went Dallas, Austin, and maybe Houston, San Antonio, something. Yeah. And so I'm near Dallas. So I was like, oh, obviously I had to go, but then I didn't. So, and now I regret it.
Yeah, it's hard. It's so hard to, my first tickets to live podcasting is in January and I just cannot wait.
Yeah, I bet.
Since pre-pandemic. So I've bought tickets to see the Doughboys. Which is a fast food podcast. It is the opposite of Armchair Expert in many ways. But I'm like really involved in that fan community as well. And so I'm going to go see them in Chicago at a casino in Connecticut and then in Boston.
So we'll go to three nice. Shows.
Like,
that is so cool.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I can't wait to go to anything. I can't tell you the last thing that I went to, probably something theater-ish, but I'd go to a concert. I'd go to like see somebody talk somewhere. I'll go to anything at this point.
Texas famously is approaching COVID differently than Illinois.
Oh, yes.
Are there venues that you would feel safe going to in your area, or are you waiting, or do you not feel, are like things not happening, or do you not feel like the mitigation is safe enough yet?
So yes and no. I think it also, I feel like this is like kind of gross that I do this, but it also depends on like the fans that I know would go to those things.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. There are a few concerts.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a few concerts that I was like, I would go to this. And they have them in the outdoor spaces at this point in Texas. But even so, I just don't really trust the people around enough. Because I have been to some of those concerts before. So I think I'm just kind of, also, I don't have money to go to anything at the moment. Fair. But I know Ben Platt's coming in March, and I would go in a hazmat suit to go see Ben Platt. So, yeah. I mean, just waiting.
And I feel like Ben Platt is someone who he's going to have vaccinated fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is he touring with...
So that's something.
Yeah. Is he touring with original songs, or does he do like a jukebox? Like, does he do show tunes? Like, what does Ben Platt tour with?
Well, he has one album and he just had another one come out. Okay. And I didn't go to any of his last concerts, but I know he did a Netflix special for like a concert. So he did all of his original songs and then he did some covers.
Yeah.
But so hopefully now it'll be like a mix because I'd love to see him sing some show tunes too.
Yeah. What sort of writing have you been working on? Are you doing scripts? Are you doing memoir stuff? Like, what is the writing you've been doing lately?
I've been really into screenplays for the last few years. So that's what I've been mainly working on. I've thought about writing some kind of like memoir, but I feel like anytime I try to like go back to that like place that I'm trying to write about, I just am like, okay, never mind. Yeah. Let's not do this. And then I'll do it again and be like, nope. So one day maybe we'll get there, but for now it's just screenplays.
Yeah. Do you have a genre that you focus on, or do you like, how many, are you a screenplay writer? Do you have like parallel stories you're working on and you're going from project to project, or are you someone who works, do you work on one project, finish it, and then start the next?
I wish I could say that I was the second one, but unfortunately I am not.
Okay.
I think I will start with one project and then sometimes I will like map the whole thing out and know exactly what I want to do with it and then start it and then kind of just come to a roadblock and then move on to something else and then come back. Yeah. So that's kind of how I work. So I'll start something or I'll get an idea and then I'll kind of just like go at it 100% for months.
Yeah.
And then kind of reach a point where I'm like, I don't know if it's that it's writer's block, but I just like come to a stop where I'm like, I don't know if I'm not interested in it anymore or what. So then I'll have other projects that kind of go the same way, or like I'll watch something and then want to do something based loosely on what I saw or the idea that I got from watching it. So I just have a bunch of different projects and only a few of them are actually finished.
Okay. And are they, what sort of genre do you write in?
I really am a sucker for dramas. That's really, I feel like I'm just a dramatic person in general. So I like can get that up real quick. I have tried, I'm working on something that's supposed to be like a comedy, but the more I think about it and the more I work on it, I'm like, ooh, let's put this little piece of this little piece of drama in here. And then I'm like, wait, no, this is supposed to be a comedy. I think I, as far as genre goes, I don't really stick to just one particular one. I like to try different things and try different ways that I go about it. So like maybe one is really like ensemble-y and like mysterious. Yeah. And then one is like drama, obviously. Yeah. And then I really am into like history stuff, not so much like ancient times, but I really like, there's this one musical that I really like. It's called Hello, My Baby. And it's not one that anybody really knows because it's kind of new. And this isn't how it works at all. But I like was like, I'm going to write a screenplay of it. Okay. And that was fun, too, because it's based in like the 1920s. So, yeah, I just I'll do whatever except for sci-fi. I can't really get into writing sci-fi. I can watch it, but not really into the whole like details of everything to write it.
Yeah, I think sci-fi is particularly difficult because if you're doing a drama set in modern times or even like historical fiction. It's not historical fiction if it's a period piece, if it's a screenplay. You're not having to do the world building of science fiction, which demands that you have like a plan for the technology, for the, like, you know, at least when you're doing something based in a period drama and you're looking back, you still have to do research, but you don't have to create the items from scratch.
Right. It's not up to you. You can Google what did it look like back then, or what words did they use? Yeah. When in science fiction, you have to make the dictionary, you have to like do everything, which is so like amazing. And I love that people can come up with that kind of stuff, like Harry Potter.
Right.
I don't know, I've never seen Star Wars. Don't kill me, but I've never seen Star Wars. So even then, I'm sure that they have a dictionary and stuff too.
So they do. I don't know if you like Nicole Byer from, she's like Nailed It. So she and Lauren Lapkus, who was the woman, the lead in The Wrong Missy with David Spade. So they're comedians in LA, and they do a podcast called Newcomers.
Okay.
And the first season of Newcomers was them both watching Star Wars for the first time. And it was hysterical. I didn't even bother. I didn't rewatch any. I've seen the movies. I think I've seen all of them. I'm not someone who requires watching the movie to listen to a podcast about a movie.
Okay.
So it is, if you ever want to increase your Star Wars knowledge, I suggest including Newcomers in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I will definitely look into that. There's been a few times where I've been like, should I sit down and watch all of it? Because from what I've heard also, depending on who you ask, it's like, what order do I watch these movies in? Yeah. And some people will say, don't watch it like this. You need to watch it this way. And the fourth one is first and whatever. And so it's very confusing.
There's like the machete cut, which is, all that stuff. We're not just here to talk just about the TV shows we've been watching and podcasts. We are here to also talk about some of your favorite things. So what is the favorite thing that has risen to the top as you're thinking about things to talk about this afternoon?
Have you talked about Armchair Expert yet?
I have not.
We can talk about Armchair Expert because I can talk about that.
Great. Let's do it. So, like we said at the top of the show, Taylor and I know each other through an Armchair Expert fan group, and which you were, I believe, so the video came out from Ellen, and somebody posted it to the group, and they were like, is she in here? And somebody said, I know her, I'll go get her, because I don't think you were in the group with, and we like recruited you and said, tell us everything, how does he smell? What was it like? How strong was he? So that's how we met, is you were on Ellen and then we went looking for you.
Yes. And fun fact, I was in the group before, but then it was the very, very beginning of the group.
Yeah.
And there was just kind of like a lot of hate towards Monica in the beginning. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not about this. I'm leaving. So I left.
Yeah.
And my friend Shauna, she's the one that was like, I know her, I'll go get her.
Okay.
She texted me and was like, did you see it? And I was like, did I see what? She's like, in the Armchair Expert group. I was like, oh, I'm not in the group. And she's like, I'll get you. Come on, I'll get you in. And then people were like, I saw the video posted in there.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was early in the group I really locked that group down. Like, people have to answer questions.
Yeah.
And I just made the rule. I was just like, I just want this to be a nice area of the internet. And there's a difference between critique and just like hate listening and stuff. And so it did take a while to get the vibe of the group to the right.
To where it is now.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you know about Dax Shepard before the podcast came out?
I did, yes, because I remember watching, I can't remember if it was Employee of the Month or Zathura that I had seen first, but mm-hmm. either way, I remember watching those movies when I was younger. I was in like third grade and they had this after school day program mm-hmm. that you would go to if your parents couldn't come pick you up right. at 3 o'clock. And we used to watch Zathura in there. So I remember seeing him there. And an Employee of the Month, my parents were fans of David Cook from okay. American Idol, and I was a fan of him.
Okay.
So they said, hey, we're watching this movie with Dane Cook in it. So I thought David Cook, and I was wrong, but then I knew him from there too. So,
okay.
And I had watched Parenthood.
Yeah. So you knew who he was as an actor. And then were you like a podcast person, or was this the podcast that got you into podcasts?
This was the first podcast I had ever listened to. I think I wasn't at the very beginning. I did not listen from day one.
Yeah.
I started listening at Mae Whitman's episode because okay. I love Mae Whitman. I'll mm-hmm. listen and watch anything she's in.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mae Whitman was amazing in Parenthood. She's such an incredible actor. They had a particularly lovely interview when she was on.
Oh, yeah. And that's what got me hooked. I was like, okay, because I think my favorite two characters from Parenthood were Crosby and Amber. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that they had like kind of a reunion, I was like, oh, I'm all about this.
Nice.
So then I listened and there was just some kind of like spark and I loved it.
Yeah.
And then I went back and listened from the very beginning.
Okay. So then you go back, you listen to the very beginning. What were some other like standout interviews or moments kind of early when you were listening that kept you coming back?
Well, so for the first episode that I listened to from Mae Whitman, it was more so I loved them so much and I just wanted to listen. And then there was something about the way, obviously, that Dax communicates with people that I was kind of catching on to. But then when I went back the first episode, listening to him and Kristen,
right,
then I was really like, oh, and I come from a very like traumatic childhood. Mm-hmm. I was not given the tools to communicate, and mm-hmm. I at that time in my life I was definitely like in a very dark place and I didn't know how to get out of that place.
Mm-hmm.
So when I found the podcast and I have this human being like who knows how to communicate and has been through a lot of the same things that I went through,
yeah,
it became more than just like entertainment for me. It was more like I'm learning how to be a good human being, or at least a better human being yeah. than what I have been and what I came from.
Yeah. Because especially I think it can be hard for people that maybe came to the podcast late. You know, you can start with any episode, but those early episodes, like maybe the first 6 months, first year, especially where it's still very raw and he's still trying to figure out like how to do an interview, what to share.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings a lot to the podcast of talking about past traumas, how he worked through them, how relationships changed over time, closure he's gotten, closure he hasn't gotten.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, those were some... It was giving you access to some tools you didn't have.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and this is shameful for me to admit because I wouldn't listen to any of the other episodes in the beginning. I would just skip to the people that I knew, mm-hmm. but eventually I would go back. And I remember listening to David Harbour because yeah. I love Stranger Things, obviously. Yes. That one is one that I've listened to a lot, like yeah. multiple times going back, just the way that he talked about mental health and addiction
yeah.
just really stuck with me. And it was the first time I've ever heard people talk about this at all. Cause from where I'm from, you don't talk about those personal things.
Okay.
You don't talk about the like darkness and all of that. You just like shut up about it and keep it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So to hear like, I guess celebrities, but just anyone in general talking right. about these things so openly to millions of people.
Right.
I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not like, I'm not losing my mind. I'm not crazy.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of power might be the wrong word, but strength that you can gather by sharing stories or by hearing stories and hearing your own life reflected back in the stories of others. So, you know, like that they got through it, so you can also get through it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's, I definitely, and I talk about this with him on the Ellen video. Yeah. I do not have a good relationship with my dad whatsoever. And so for me, I don't really remember like what point in my listening this kind of switched on for me, but Dax really became this father figure that I never had, because throughout my entire life, I was afraid of men. I didn't want to talk to men. I didn't want anything to do with men. I didn't even want to be in the same room as a man. So the fact that I was like listening to a man's podcast, which Monica was there, I just like in the beginning, she wasn't really as vocal. So I didn't latch on to her as quickly as I did with Dax.
Yeah.
Dax,
she was,
I was
much
like,
more almost like Rob as like a silent producer.
Yeah.
And she came in for the fact check, but her participation in interviews has certainly increased.
Yes, which I love, and I love Monica. But I tell this all the time, like, I'm like, I have so many strong women in my life. I just didn't have a strong male figure to look at at all. And so Dax became that father figure for me, and it changed like everything.
Yeah. Are there things that it helped you change that you talk about?
Yeah, I've definitely had a addictive personality throughout my entire life. I'm an addict. That's what it is. I don't know why I just like tiptoed around that. So whenever he was talking about the things that he went through, I could see that in myself. Mm-hmm. And it kind of took me back for a second. And I stopped listening for a while because I was like, this is too much. Like, I don't want to face this yet.
Yeah.
And then I kind of went back, and it just taught me about like how to go about dealing with that and like confronting it.
Yeah.
And also communication, because I was a very, very angry person, and I held on to a lot of resentment, and I didn't know how to communicate with the people around me. Back then, I would not have ever been able to say, hold on a sec, I'm triggered right now. I need to go and figure out why I'm feeling this way, and then we can come back to this. I would just be like, F you, and like probably like slam a few doors and feel really good about it.
Yep.
So definitely taught me a lot. And I mean, the experts teach you a lot too. I had no idea about the ACEs scores and all of that.
Yeah.
And so when I found out about that, that changed a lot for me.
Yeah.
Cause my number is pretty up there.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, cool. So maybe this is something we should like look into.
Yeah. So that's the adverse childhood effect score, I think, or
adverse childhood
events.
Experiences. Something. It's an E word.
Yeah. I'll link to this episode because it was eye-opening, I think, for everyone. And now there's, last week on TikTok, on my corner of TikTok, I know that doesn't mean it's everyone's TikTok, were people learning about what, like, people who had never heard about it, like, seeing someone talk about it, and then they go and they do the score, and they're like, holy shit, mine's a 6, 7, 8, 9. So what it does is you do this quiz, and it's about, like, in your childhood, did you ever experience hunger, abuse? It's all these different adverse effects, because these events, these traumatic events in your childhood as an adult impact your health. They impact your mental health. They impact your physical health. And if you know your score and you can start doing some work to resolve that trauma, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, what percentage are you, like, more likely to be, like, an addict or more likely to experience this and blah, blah, blah. Just, like, that was all I talked about for like 6 months. I'd be like, what's your ACE score? Like, do you want to find out what your ACE score is?
So you were interested in people's astrology. You're like, I don't care if you're an Aries or a Leo, but I do need to know your ACE score. And exactly what went into that?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't care about you being a Sagittarius. Like, we might find more like in common if we know what each other's ACE score is. So that's all I talked about.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure a few episodes of my podcast, maybe I know I have one, my first season, my second season, I know I brought it up to like everybody, like, oh, the ACE score.
Right.
So it definitely made a big impact on me. And I think that one in particular stood out a lot to me because I had gone and just kind of like, how do I explain this? I had been going with the mindset that there was like something wrong with me and it was my fault. And I did all of this stuff because I was just like broken. Right. But then when that came on, it's like, no, there's a lot more to that than what you think. And it wasn't necessarily me being like, oh, it's all my parents' fault. Like, but I just knew that I was the way I was because of however many factors.
Yeah.
And that I was like, oh, cool. So it's not all me.
Right. Yeah. I think that's, it's such a big realization for people to come to. It's, I think, a scary one because even I also think people who had like, quote unquote, like good childhoods can look at that list and be like, oh, well, there were a couple things that happened and like those can be resolved too. But I think it's, I think it is really powerful and I hope that it becomes more normalized in like primary care physicians and to like that should be a vital sign. You know?
I recently went to my doctor and it wasn't the ACE test, but it was those kind of questions.
Yeah.
And I felt so like grateful that they were there. I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you for asking me these questions.
Yeah. Are there other, I think for me, the Monica and Jess Love Boys, where they talk to dating experts and like Esther Perel or like she comes to mind right away for me from an expert that in a podcaster that I've, well, she's more than a podcaster that I feel like I've learned a lot from. But are there other experts that also pop up for you when you think about ones that sent you down research rabbit holes or held a mirror to you that helped you see something?
Yes. I don't remember if Glennon Doyle was considered an expert or not, but her episode, I think a lot of people resonated with them. Mm-hmm. Glennon Doyle. I'm also not sure if Brené Brown was considered an expert, but she was like, oh, I love them both. And of course, now that you ask me, I'm sitting like blanking on all of them.
It's the amnesia that comes with these types of questions. I get it too.
Right. I've slept since then. Like,
yes. Yeah.
And I loved on Monica and Jess when they brought Kristen and Dax's therapist in.
Mm-hmm.
I love because I've never been in a place where I could like afford to go to therapy.
Yeah.
That was just never like in the cards for me. So getting to experience it through Armchair Expert or all of these experts, anything that has to do with any kind of therapy. Susan Burton, her episode, I've showed that to like 5 people. Like, you have to listen to Susan Burton.
I don't know if I remember her episode.
Her episode, she's the one that, does a new way of life.
Oh,
I think she was incarcerated for a while and now she helps. Yeah. My mom was in jail for a little bit in my childhood. And this goes along with the ACEs score, but I was kind of like, so what? That has nothing to do with how I like am now. Like, what? I'm not going to go down that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then you come to find out, it kind of did have a little impact on you, like just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's interesting to me because I grew up around a lot of people who had gotten sober. And my parents were the parents who kept, they literally had a case of the book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, which is not why bad things happen to good people. It's when bad things happen to good people, because no matter how good you are, you will eventually experience heartbreak or loss or something tragic. And that was like part of my parents' arsenal of supporting their friends was we just had a box of that book that my parents would give to people when bad things happened.
I love that.
Yeah, it was really, you know, now I realize not something that all parents do, but really nice to have grown up seeing that and seeing our parents realized early that the types of trauma that they had experienced and made a decision not to, they made a decision to break the cycles of abuse from their families with us kids. And so like they went to therapy and they got help so that they could do better by us than their parents did for them.
Good for them though.
Yeah.
But I love that.
It's we're so lucky and I'm so grateful, but like that's, and I'm not going to be like Dax and push you to become a parent, but that you've had this interaction with this podcast that has helped you start doing some healing and start to see like what, you know, should you choose to have kids in your life, right? Like you will be able to lower their ACEs score because you'll know about it and you will have had the chance to learn these things that maybe your parents didn't have access to this kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I tell people all the time. I forget. I like have this like deep quote that I'll tell people if I'm like really sad or something. Mm-hmm. It's like basically the hero and the villain story, their origin story is the same thing. The way that they go is the path that they choose. Mm-hmm. So they both normally have like this horrible past where something traumatic is going on, but then they get to choose which way they want to go, if they want to be a hero or if they want to be a villain. And that's the big difference there.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that that's, I mean, you can choose to like you said, your parents, how they decided to break that cycle of abuse. They very well could have just been like, well, it's too hard. I'm just going to be a villain now, an evil person or whatever. And it's sad to look back on the people like my dad who came from that cycle and just decided not to break it or didn't have the tools to know how to break it.
Right.
Because then you have compassion for these people.
Yeah.
Which is hard.
Yeah, it is hard. It is hard. What about on the more celebrity kind of, do you enjoy the just kind of more lighthearted or I don't want to say more shallow. That's not what I wanted to say, but you know, he gets deeply personal with people, but they're not all the guests aren't as revealing maybe as a David Harbour or who is that Texas DJ?
Gordon Keith.
Gordon Keith.
Yes. You know,
everyone's not sharing at that level. Do you care for the episodes with like lighter celebrity content?
Yes, I feel like I'm the person that I have never hated like a movie. Mm-hmm. I've never hated like a person for just like being a person or whatever. I'm not one of those people who like goes online and it's like, oh my gosh, I hate this person, blah, blah, blah. So I will listen to every single episode. I love all of the episodes. I can't really think of one that sticks out to me as like, there hasn't been one where I was kind of wary about listening to because I was like, So I love them all. I do remember I didn't know much about Amy Schumer at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, am I going to like this? And I don't know why I even asked that. Like, of course I'm going to like it. So I loved that one.
And that's
and the recent ones.
Yeah. That's one where didn't they, like, they recorded in her apartment in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something was said between them where they thought it got off, like they left it kind of rocky.
Yeah.
And then in the fact check, I think he said that they like went back and had a talk and everything was fine.
Yeah.
Which I guess that is a deep one, but.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then do you feel like you've been able to keep up with all of the offshoots with like there's the conspiracy alien one. There's the Kristen Bell and Monica's have their new one. Yeah. There's, which one were you saying?
The Nurture
versus with Wendy.
Wendy Mogul.
Yeah. Now, do you keep up with all the branches of the tree?
I did really good whenever I was delivering pizza because that's all I did was, because I feel like after a while, I kind of got burnt out on music. I'm like, okay, yeah, here we go. Same song again. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to it.
Yeah.
Which is really weird to say because I normally don't. But so I listen to Armchair Expert because those are new. You just listen to a new one. And when you're working like 8-hour shifts, those things, they fly by.
Yeah,
so
they do.
I was like, I feel like I was at the point where I was like, I don't have anything else to listen to. I'm going to start a few new podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
But now, since I'm not doing that, I am so behind. I can't remember the last one. Usually, I don't know if this is like how my brain works, but I've never skipped an episode to listen to a new one. I have to like go in order. So I actually started skipping around because I was like, I want to listen to Matt Damon. So I had to like skip. I know that I have not listened to any Nurture versus Nurture at all.
Yeah.
But I did skip around and listen to some of We Are Supported By.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to something that was very recent, but I have to go back and like catch up that way too.
Yeah.
I can't just skip them.
Yeah.
So it's been hard to kind of listen now that I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here.
Right. Yeah. And when you're home and you can be writing or you can be like watching TV, which are two things you can't do when you're in your car. So
exactly. And for me, I think listening to podcasts, I like to either be alone or be in a place where the person that's around me can listen too. Because if I'm sitting on the couch and I'm going to listen to Armchair Expert and like people are like running around, I feel like I'm going to get distracted and miss something.
Yeah.
So I have to be in a place to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you on that. This summer, my nephew graduated from college and moved to Chicago from Idaho. So he's been living with me for the last few months. And I have realized, I'm like, oh, I listen to a lot of like I live alone typically, and I listen to a lot of podcasts as company. So now I have like a real life human being who is like here, and I don't necessarily need to walk around the house with my phone, like my phone playing a podcast shoved in my bra because like Bluetooth speakers are too difficult for me.
Right.
You know, like. So I'm not listening to them as much, but I also got a car during the pandemic. And so I am, because a lot of people did, you know?
Right. Might as well.
Yeah. Because it just got too scary not to have any access to transportation at all. So.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
You live in the city of Chicago or do you live
in
like
Chicago? No, I'm in the city.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
My friend Shauna, the one that is in the Armchair Expert group, she just moved there to go to Second City.
Yes.
Whichever of the comedy things is in there. So she just got, she went to go out to her car to start it and go somewhere.
Yeah.
And it didn't start because somebody had stolen something from her car.
Did they steal her catalytic converter?
I think that would be the word. That is the one thing I don't have in common with Dax. I don't know anything about cars.
So Second City is the comedy place that survived the pandemic. Like IO closed, Annoyance Theater is still open. So That's exciting. Does she does she know people here? She was like, I want to do Second City. I'm making the move.
I don't know. I know that she knows the people she's with now, but I don't know if she knew them before she went to Chicago or if she just naturally makes friends faster than I would.
Right.
Nice. But that's cool. You might like run into her somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So Taylor, I'm curious, when you tell people to listen, when you prescribe someone to listen to Armchair Expert,
which happens often.
Yeah. Do you suggest a particular episode based on what you know about them? Or do you think there are some all-star episodes that if someone's never listened before that they should start with?
Yes and no. If I know the person very well, I'll say you need to start with this one because it'll like rope you in immediately.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, I either start with the very first one. I tell them they need to do what I do from the very beginning.
Yes.
And go in order because like, I feel like if you start listening now, they start talking about like Pee Baby or whatever in the fact check, they're not going to have any idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So I always suggest going from the beginning, but I also try to go based on the person that I know. Cause I know I have my sister and my two cousins and we've all kind of had the same traumatic childhood experiences. Yeah. So I suggest Nadine Burke Harris. I think that was her name.
She's the one who did Aces, right? Yeah.
I try to like change it up depending on the person. Like I've never suggested to anybody who likes football, but if I were, I'd suggest something to do with football or like sports or something.
Yeah, they had that Patriots quarterback guy.
Tom Brady. There we go. And then the guy, he was the trainer, maybe like he has something to do with football. That is something I'm not educated in. So
yeah, no, I don't know it well at all. I think that Nadine Burke Harris episode was so important and she's such an incredible scholar on the subject as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is your dream live show lineup?
Oh my gosh, probably, I don't know. That's a good question. I've never thought about that before.
Would it be like a guest you loved coming back for a live show or would it be someone they'd never interviewed before?
This is such a good question. I love Ben Platt. So I would say Ben Platt, please. Or I would want David Harbour back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I'm sitting here like, or this person. My dream guest was Melissa McCarthy. So when her episode came out, I kind of have been like waiting for another like dream guest spot. Oh my gosh, I know it actually. Dave Grohl. I would want Dave Grohl as a live guest. I would want him to play something.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
Okay, Dave Grohl. That would be super fun. That would be a really fun episode.
I have been waiting so long for Dave Grohl. I would do anything for Dave Grohl. And it would have to be a live show that I could be at, like in the front row.
No, that's obviously the premise of the question. It's not like, what live show would give you the most FOMO when you couldn't go? That's a terrible question.
I would be so mad if I had like tickets to a live show and then an episode came out from a previous live show and it was Dave Grohl. I'd be so mad.
Yeah.
They're like, no.
Yeah. I had tickets to the second Chicago live show, which was, it was like hilarious. Everybody who went said it was hilarious. I think he might have been kind of a gruff guy. He's on the Goldbergs. He plays
Jeff Garland.
He plays Jeff Garland's like best friend on the show, David Koechner.
That
was so he's an Anchorman and Get Smart and the Goldbergs
and Chips, I think, for 2 seconds.
Oh, and He was on Bless This Mess for a year. So he was the live show that I had tickets to and then had to like accidentally booked a flight out of town on that day. Whoops.
Oh, no. So,
and that was one that was just supposed to be like super fun, a super, super fun show. So that was a bummer.
See, and I probably, if I had gone to the Dallas show and seen Gordon Keith, I probably would have been like, I don't know who this is. But by the end of it, I would have been like crying, like so happy I was there for that.
Yeah, that Gordon Keith episode where he talks about finding Dax's blue book and all of his different sobriety dates in it, I thought was like a really powerful story.
Oh, I cry thinking about it. And then, of course, when he came out with like his relapse this last year, that was the first thing that I thought about.
Right, was that he would get his book out and write a new anniversary on it. Is there anything about Armchair Expert that I haven't asked you yet that you would be sad not to have shared?
Other than the fact that I would love to be a guest one day. No. Like a dream. No, not that I can think of. Of course, I'll like, we'll hang up and I'll be in the living room and be like, oh man.
Yeah. So you're waiting to get your car fixed. Was it like a bad, is it just the battery or was it like a bad crash?
Well, the crash was pretty bad.
Okay.
But it's still drivable. The problem with it, though, is that because of the damage, I can't go back to my job at the delivery place that I worked at. I'm kind of like stuck on that because I don't know what I want to do. Yeah. Just got to get the battery fixed and then figure out what to do next, I guess.
Yeah. So it's too damaged for them to like pay you to drive it, but you would, you are willing to drive it, but they won't like clear you for liability or whatever.
Yeah. Basically at that place, they have like a standard of what the car has to not necessarily look like, but because the blinker doesn't work anymore, I can't drive it because all the lights have to work. The blinkers have to work.
Okay.
All that.
Okay.
So if you looked at it, you'd be like, what's wrong with it? But because of the blinker.
Okay. Well, I hope that you get it fixed or you find a solution to that.
Yeah. The last thing I want to do is sell it. But I mean.
Right.
And also I have to remember that the memories attached with the car don't come with the car. It's. Right. Meeting Dax, I would have been like, so what, who cares about the car? I met Dax.
Right. But it's, I mean, it represents a lot. It represents, it holds a lot of memories. I'm not gonna give you shit for like being slow to sell it or make a decision on what to do with it. It's a big one. Like you said, he's one of your father figures and he's a car guy and he helped get you a car and it's totally normal to feel attached to it and not want to just be like, oh, fuck it, sell it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Where can people find you on the internet? If you would like to be found on the internet.
You can't find me. You can follow me. I think all of my usernames are Taylor Nicole and I have an E at the end of my name. So for whatever reason, thanks parents. It's TayLorenichOll on Instagram, Twitter. You don't have me on Facebook.
Right. No, I don't. I'm not going to link to your personal Facebook.
Right. Then you can listen to my podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. And I don't think I'm on anything else. So
you can
follow me
TikTok.
On LinkedIn.
Great. So people can find you on Instagram and Twitter. And you can also, there is the Armchair group and now there's like an Armchair Discord.
Yes. I'm in both of those. I'll talk to you there.
Right. And like as spinoffs from that, there's like an Armchair Expert book group that's based in the Discord and they've been getting the authors to come to like book nights. And people are reading books that are recommended on the podcast. It really is a really, it's a nice fan community. Mm-hmm. We've done like Secret Santa for a few years in a row, which is really fun.
Everyone is so nice.
Everyone is super nice. And the people who aren't nice get booted real fast.
Yeah. I've had one problem with one person, and I don't know if they blocked me or they got kicked out of the group, but mm-hmm. they're not there anymore. So.
Yeah. Great. Well, Taylor, this has been a blast.
This has been so fun.
I'm so glad you raised your hand.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.